Morning, everyone. Now I know something of what it's like to be Gareth Malone. If you're part of the Great British Home Chorus, then you'll understand where I am with this. Each day he is in his garden shed, pretty large garden shed, I would imagine, doing warm-ups, breathing exercises, teaching songs to thousands upon thousands of people all across the world, none of whom he can see, though he can see their comments via a live chat feed. For someone who prefers not to even to stand on the platform in church when speaking, but would rather be closer, this feels very odd. Speaking at my laptop, which gives no response at all. As keeps being said, we are living in unprecedented times. So, let's read a passage of scripture which begins a week of unprecedented events. I'm going to read from John's Gospel and chapter 12. And we're reading from verse 12 through to verse 19. And this is the passage that continues from what Frank read and spoke from last week. And as I have done recently, I'm reading once again from the Passion Translation. So, John chapter 12 and verse 12. The next day, the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the massive crowd gathered for the feast. So they took palm branches and went out to meet him. Everyone was shouting, "Lord, be our Saviour! Blessed is the one who comes to as sent from Jehovah God, the King of Israel." Then Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it to fulfill what was prophesied. "People of Zion, have no fear. Look, it is your King coming to you riding on a young donkey." Now Jesus' disciples didn't fully understand the importance of what was taking place, but after he was raised and exalted into glory, they understood how Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies in the scriptures that were written about him. All the eyewitnesses of the miracle Jesus performed when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead kept spreading the news about Jesus to everyone. The news of this miracle of resurrection caused the crowds to swell as great numbers of people welcomed him into the city with joy. But the Pharisees were disturbed by this and said to each other, "We won't be able to stop this. The world is going to run after him." The thing about an event which is unprecedented is that it will often divide opinion. And that was certainly true as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. A massive crowd, people who would have been there anyway, some of them, but swept along by the occasion, celebrating, with mixed understanding of what they were doing and why. We have his close followers, the disciples, knowing much in their heads, probably not understanding everything, realizing Jesus was totally different to anyone they'd ever known, but not at this stage understanding the significance of the events. Then we've got the majority, excited by all that had been happening, particularly those miracles of healing, Lazarus being brought back to life. A crowd of excited people welcoming Jesus in Jewish tradition as a king. Some would have also understood the significance of the donkey. That prophecy is found in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Whilst we understand today, as perhaps those first disciples did later, after Jesus' resurrection, the meaning of Jesus as king, then people thought he was coming to bring physical freedom, release from oppression by the Romans, to start a new Jewish kingdom. This excited the Jewish people. It had been prophesied, and that's how they understood their prophecies. but it disturbed and angered the Pharisees and other religious leaders. Why? Well, it threatened their position of power and control. Where are we in that crowd today? Probably find it, thinking about being in a crowd, a little tricky, something that we're avoiding and will continue to avoid for a long time, perhaps longer, some of us, than we have to. But either way, if we want to try and put ourselves in this story, we're looking at Jesus riding on a donkey. Are we looking with full understanding of Jesus, who he is, what he's doing in our lives and in the world around us right now? Are we looking in wonder, excited, but a little unsure? We might not want to think of ourselves as a Pharisee, but are we underneath it all worried? Worried about a loss of control? A sense of panic arising from not really knowing what's going on? Fear of what might happen to us, to our loved ones, to society? All of us, you know, no matter how full of faith we are, like to know that we have some control over our own lives. No matter how surrendered to Jesus we might feel we are, there's still an aspect in that of that being something that we decide, and so in that sense have control over. At our regular life group last Thursday, we listened, watched a couple of videos that Nikki Gumbel has put together. We just watched the first part, which he did just before the main lockdown because of coronavirus. I found it really encouraging and refreshing to listen to him, particularly his honesty, and his honesty in the things that he was saying about that feeling of loss of control, of not understanding what's going on, of not being able to make decisions for ourselves. If you have time, then Google it and listen to him. It's very encouraging, his honesty and particularly his fears about his own situation and his wife's. Perhaps there's a sense in which it doesn't really matter where we are standing this morning, as long as we're looking at Jesus and remembering, realising that the only reason that Jesus was entering Jerusalem was to die for me, for you, for each person in that crowd that first Palm Sunday, and for each person born since that day, to die on the cross so that I could know forgiveness and enter into life, a full and rich life of knowing God's love for me personally. As long as not losing sight of him, not allowing other people or events to block our view of him, as long as we keep following him, whether it's from a distance or up close, whether we're pulled along by others or doing the pulling, whether we understand everything or understand just a little, what matters is that focus, our eyes remain on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, as the writer to the Hebrews says. Because whatever else is going on, whatever else everyone around you is doing, saying, thinking, whatever different groups there are, Jesus is constant, the unchanging one, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he looks at each person in the crowd and sees an individual who he loves and cares for in the same way, wherever you are standing. Jesus wants to tell you how much he understands and cares for you, that he knows your fears, he knows your joys, he knows your life, and to encourage you to keep following just that little bit closer each day. That's what living in life is all about, what its fullness is about. If we were sat in church now, I would have used a song or a video as a reflection, and then we would have sung a final song that somehow I might have felt connects to today's message. So what I'm going to do is pray and then explain the songs that I would have chosen, that I have chosen, and encourage you to look them up on YouTube and allow God to minister to you. So let's pray together. Father God, thank you for the passage of your word that we've read today. Thank you that for many of us it's a familiar story. And Lord, we've not said anything new this morning, but perhaps a reminder. A reminder of why you sent Jesus to this earth, why he was riding into Jerusalem, part of your perfect plan to bring salvation, to show your love to a needy world. And Father, help us to be reminded and strengthened by that fact today. That Jesus, despite the crowds, the cheering, knew that he was going to face an awful death, that his blood needed to be shed in order that we might be cleansed and forgiven by a holy God, and so start a new life, a relationship that would bring fulfillment. Father, thank you that you love us. Help us as we have more time than we would have been expecting this week. Help us to reflect on all those different events as we go through this holy week, starting in Jerusalem with the cheers of the crowd, Hosanna, and all the other things that take place this week that show your ways and your preparation. Lord, help us to see things afresh and anew and allow you to speak into our lives and to draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, Amen. As I was having my loud walk a couple of days ago, I was listening to worship music just randomly chosen by YouTube on my phone. And up came a song that was new to me. It's called Even If by Mercy Me. And it's based on those words from the book of Daniel, where Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are about to be thrown into the furnace because they refuse to worship Nebuchadnezzar's gods. They believe that God can rescue them, but even if he doesn't, they will still remain faithful to him. This is what Bart Millard of Mercy Me says about this song. Even if is a reminder to people in difficult situations that don't seem to go away. God was worthy long before any of those circumstances even showed up. This song is a declaration to God that even if he went silent and never said another word, he's still worthy to be praised, and that he's our greatest hope in the midst of the trial.